Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Ballad of John and Yoko, released by the Beatles in May 1969, right in the middle of John Lennon and Yoko Ono's second bed-in. Over the last couple of months, Kate O'Malley, historian at the Royal Irish Academy, has been winding back the clock to 1969 and reflecting on the dramatic cultural and political events of that year. Kate, this evening, in your final instalment, you've chosen the famous bed-ins. Now, I suppose before we come to the bed-ins, where were the Beatles in their careers at that stage in 1969?
Thanks, Mary. Yes, it's fair to say that the Beatles were in limbo in 1969 as a group. They were effectively in limbo because of all sorts of personal, musical, artistic differences that had come to the surface. They had stopped performing in 66, but it's safe to say that Brian Epstein, their manager's death in 67, undoubtedly had a huge impact on their kind of imploding, if you will. And so for that reason, kind of they're all on hiatus, doing their own things. And it was really significant because, beknownst to themselves, in January 1969, they had their very final performance together, famously on the roof of the Apple Studios in Savile Row, which everyone would be very familiar with that particular video footage, and you two later copied it, you know.
And you just told me, as we were listening to the music, that the Ballad of John and Yoko, it was their last number one.
Yes, so it is a Beatles track, and it's credited as co-written with McCartney, and it was their 17th and final number one single in the UK, which is kind of remarkable when you think about how much the John and Yoko kind of myth is perpetuated. And I think
and
she
its
came,
influence on the Beatles
yeah,
and the
yeah,
breakup.
Yeah, she came on the scene,
so on.
At the time that it was ending anyway, it's safe to say, and whether she really had that much of an impact on the end of their time as a band together is easily disputed.
Let's talk bed-ins, and maybe for younger listeners, what were the bed-ins? What were they all about?
Yeah, so bed-in, I suppose people might not know, but it's a play on the word sit-in, you know, in the protests, the sit-in protests that was going on. So John and Yoko got married in March 1969, and they wanted to go on a honeymoon, and they knew that they would be, you know, chased by the world's media going on honeymoon. So what they decided to do was actually use this to their advantage and do something positive and proactive with their honeymoon. And with this idea in mind, after they got married in Gibraltar, a strange place to get married, I think they'd wanted to get married en route to France in a ship, and that wasn't possible. They ended up getting married in Gibraltar, and then they flew to Amsterdam into the Hilton Hotel in Amsterdam, and this is where they had their first bed-in, as they called it, or Yoko preferred to call it a peace happening, and they had plenty
happening.
Of these happenings then for the next 2 years. The first one wasn't as well covered as the second one, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but it's significant in Irish music journalist history because B.B. Fallon actually interviewed them in Amsterdam, and that was kind of the beginning of his career. So a little Irish angle there for you. So 7 days, they invited the world media to come to their honeymoon, opened the doors of their room for 12 hours a day, and of course everyone was at the doors, you know, thinking that they'd see them naked as a result of kind of an album cover that had come out and whatnot. But they were sitting angelic, like, as John likes to say himself, head to toe in white with flowers, and nothing that exciting or salacious to show them, but lots to talk about. And I think that's a significant
thing. And that was the first bed in, and that first bed in was Amsterdam.
Yes, yeah.
The second bed in.
So then the second one, they had hoped that they could get to the States, but John Lennon wasn't allowed to land in the States because of a drugs conviction, marijuana possession in 1968. So they said the next best thing would they go as close as they could. So that's why they ended up in Montreal. So they ended up in the aptly named Queen Elizabeth Hotel, because in 69 as well, John would later in November return his MBE to Queen Elizabeth. So there's lots of little
connections going on
there. So this was much more publicised, a lot more publicity. You've got a lot of very well-known journalists, activists going up to Canada from the States in particular to meet and talk with them. And it really was the equivalent of going viral today. It was a huge media sensation.
We have a short clip of John and Yoko speaking during the bed-in, I think it's the Montreal bed-in, to several dozen reporters who had gathered right around their bed.
I think they might think I'm going to hot up the revolution. You know, I want to cool it down.
That's why we're doing this, because we thought it's very urgent. And every one of us are in it.
If we make people laugh, that's enough. Happiness is a good vibe for peace. But they could, saying grow your hair for peace. Or cut it off. Have some sign on you that's for peace, you know. All we're saying is if you think you can do better, do it. You top it. Stop asking us, do you think it's going to work? You know, do something yourself.
John and Yoko there in Montreal in 1969. The year ended with a related campaign organised again by John and Yoko.
Yeah, they had a billboard campaign in December where they had posters throughout lots of cities in the world with the "War is over, if you want it," very famously. Ended up as a song, those words in a song a couple of years later. But I think the actual bed-ins themselves are interesting because they got vilified, let's be frank. Lots of people very cynically reported it at the time. So we have these hippies clearly on drugs, sitting in their beds, and what use is that? When in actual fact, they were providing the counter-revolution at the time with an alternative to active street violence, which had, you know, increased over the preceding few years, which we've spoken about in the show in the last few slots. So he had been influenced by his trip to India in 1968 and Gandhian non-violence, and he was saying there's an alternative here. And he was kind of putting the onus on personal, you know, your personal responsibility. And it was a really simplistic message. In a really strange way, it kind of echoed the simplicity and the catchiness of early Beatles tunes, I think. And as a political message, he realised that there was something really significant in packaging it this way and selling it and marketing it again in a 60s
and
kind of consumer
worked.
Way.
And
yeah.
Had an impact and left a legacy.
It did indeed, absolutely.
All right. Kate O'Malley of the Royal Irish Academy, thank you very much and thank you for all your contributions over the summer months.